or tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
If you want to do engage with us, the number to dial is +27 734 703 520. So the intersection between faith and technology brings both positive and negative aspects, shaping the way individuals practice their faith, engage in religious communities, and navigate the challenges of the modern world. Awareness, discernment, and thoughtful engagement with technology can help harness its positive potential while mitigating negative impacts as it relates to faith. So we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Nchongwe, who's going to be helping us to navigate the whole issue of faith and technology. Mfundisi, Muribwanj.
Bueno, Muribwanj, isn't it?
How are you, Mfundisi? It's getting there.
I am good. How are you?
I am good, Mfundisi. I am good. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that the Holy Spirit may guide us?
All right, we are praying. Our dear Heavenly Father, above in heaven, we glorify you for this time you've given unto us, that we might look into your ways, matters that concerns faith and technology. We pray that your Spirit lead us even as we progress in this discussion. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, you know, we have seen throughout the years, we have seen the advancement of technology. And I think it took many churches, different denominations, I must state, for them to wake up, you know, to this technology. Because when COVID hit, there was no way. It was technology or your ministry sinks, you know. So how has, you know, technology positively impacted our access to religious texts, for examples, teachings and other resources? I mean, even us here as AWR, we are online. So this is also technology, you know. So how has that, impacted the access for many people?
All right, Zanella, I see today you want to make me an ICT pastor. However, let's progress in this. All right. Now, when we look at issues of technology, technology has brought to some extent more good and also bad on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
You see, technology is one of the things that actually is coping up with our minds today. I like the way God has made our mind to an extent that they get adaptive to everything that actually comes on this earth. And so when we look at how technology has positively impacted our teachings, you know, our belief and our church, it is in different ways. You know, one of them is that, you know, resources have been made available.
Mm-hmm.
Resources have been made available. You know, Zanele, in the olden days, for you to just have a coterie or maybe sometimes in the very, very, rural areas, sometimes we discover that for them to have coteries, it could take some time.
Yeah.
For them to have, you know, manual Bible doctrines, you know, for them to usually have, for example, you know, Bible commentaries of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, some of them couldn't manage to buy those, because they're very expensive.
Mm.
But today I can just go with my flash, the one I actually bought at 200 rands or maybe 150.
It's 50 rand, Mfundisi.
Oh, okay. You know, I go with my flash and I'll get all of them, all of the states, the whole state, I'll have it in my phone. And so resources have been made available that can actually help us grow spiritually.
Mm.
And so no one can claim to say resources are not available. You know, and then on the other hand, it has brought easy communication. This is actually also involving sharing of the gospel. Today, I'm here sharing the gospel simply because there is actually a technology that actually is helping me. So I'm able to spread the gospel globally, apart from, from the local people that are actually surrounding me.
Yes.
You know, yes. And the other thing, I think, you know, it has brought a worldwide awareness. It has brought a worldwide awareness simply because there are certain matters that actually we cannot really explain very well unless if the professionals come on board. And so we have access to actually reach out professional people. For example, we've got people who've done masters in divinity, masters in you know, maybe PhDs in textual criticism, Pastor Blessing Nyauma. We are able to have the privilege of listening to professors, you know, in the UK. When I am in Zambia here, where maybe someone has never done that kind of a course, or they're not professional in certain things, you know. So that has actually helped us. And, you know, obviously we can talk about also presentations that are actually done on different issues. So those have actually, so technology has affected our ministry, our belief system positively in these issues and more.
So Mpundisi, you know, you mentioned that we are able now to access, you know, certain PhD thesis, yes, this is because they have studied these things. We are able to get a lot of materials, you know. So the digital access, Mpundisi, that we have now, does it really enhance our understanding of our faith, or we are confusing ourselves? Because not everything we find there is true, or it's not true, or but we do know that, for example, we do have the reliable sites that when we go to there, do that. So how does it really enhance our issues? Because now I think these days I've heard people saying, you need a verse about healing, just quickly go to Google. You know, you're gonna find that. So how has that helped us, or has it made us to be lazy now to really go and read the books properly?
All right, well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you have brought that issue, because, you know, it helps us understand, you know, how, you know, obviously the question would also help us look at how it has really enhanced our faith, and also to also look at how it has, you know, negatively affected us. But, you know, coming up with the first point, you know, when you look at how it has enhanced our faith, it has enhanced our faith. Obviously, we can't run away from the fact that it has negatively impacted us, you know, affected us, sorry. You know, it has brought all these issues, but however, it has enhanced our faith because, you know, most of the time, sometimes they are what we call audio books, audio Bibles. I remember when you just on Facebook, I mean on YouTube, when you just, you know, search, you know, Desire of Ages, you know, audio book, you will find chapters read there. Sometimes you might find you are very busy because life has become very busy today, these days. You know that you are supposed to read, obviously, you are supposed to read the Bible. Maybe you read a text. Yes, you have your devotion. But, you know, you also have this whole assignment the pastor gave you. I encourage you that you should read Desire of Ages. The chapter is this now. You don't have time. You are supposed to do office work. You know, you just go online. You click, you know, an audio book, and while you are doing your work, you are able also to read. You know, multitasking can work to the positive and the negative. So you are able to listen to the word, and it is actually easy, you know. And then on the other hand, you know, there are also spiritual songs, and these spiritual songs define our faith and belief. You know, you are listening maybe to a song called The Midnight Cry, The Dead in Christ Shall Rise. You know, it's the same on itself. So technology has provided an aspect where I am able to listen to a song that was streamed at 3 ABN.
Yeah.
You know, and it is talking about our faith. So it is enhancing my faith. It is growing me in faith due to what I'm listening to. And apart from that, we've got presentations, we've got sermons, you know, sermons done by Walter L. Pearson. You know, I remember there was a time, Zanele, there was a time when I lost one of my, you know, I had a bereavement. I'd lost one of my beloved, you know, beloved parents. And I was really, really struggling. I was going to church, but the messages could not touch me.
Yes.
You know, because everyone was a spectator. They were spying on me. I was afraid of crying while listening to the sermon because everyone knows what's going around. And they might start saying, it's because of the word. That's why he's
crying.
But you know, I tuned in online and found a week of prayer of a certain pastor I won't mention, you know, and those were years back, you know, and listening to that, it really enhanced my faith. It really developed my faith, and I can say that it's part of the things that helped me grow in faith such that I had a belief that I can still claim to have today, you know, so it can positively, it enhances our faith, of course, because it gives us a reflection of our faith. We are able to have those things that actually are there. You can proceed.
I wanted to say, Mfundisi, and as you were on that one, because I wanted to ask Uguti, our participation in these online events, you know, does it help with our faith at all? For example, now we are having the 10 days of prayer, right? A lot of churches are streaming, even us are streaming. And I would sit and I would look at our feed going, people saying, amen, amen, you know, affirming what the pastor is saying. And I was like, but does it really help? Or it doesn't, you know, but I'm like, hi, Mfundisi is joining us. He will help us to answer, you know, does it help to participate in these online events?
Of course, yes. Of course, it does. It does. Personally, I have benefited more in terms of online meetings.
Okay.
You know, sometimes even more on online than physical, because sometimes when you're in physical meetings, you know, there are certain, you know, the body languages are not so, you know.
Mfundisi, you know. What have you come across?
But you see, online services give you a privilege, as I said at first, to listen to powerful speakers you've never heard before.
Yes.
Or rather, you never have an opportunity to listen to them.
Yes.
But, you know, when obviously last year, I remember there was a virtual camp meeting, you know, it should be last year, 2021, a virtual camp meeting. I had the privilege of listening to, you know, to Dr. Ted N.C. Wilson. I had the privilege to listen to, you know, other speakers that are actually inspiring in my life. And I was like, hey, I'm able to look at these guys here and I'm giving comments and they're reflecting back on my questions, you know. So it has a positive impact, you know. Apart from that, it helps you build relationships, you know, relationships that can actually help you. You're able to pray with someone in America, you know, God can answer when they pray for you, you know. It also gives you exposure, you know, because when you are here, for example, in Zambia, or maybe you are in Johannesburg, you are in Durban, in there in South Africa, or maybe in Zimbabwe, you are made to think in a certain way because of your culture. But when you have virtual camp meetings, because these are global, mind you, you know, they're global meetings, sometimes they introduce you to a certain culture that, you know, opens up your mind to say, oh this is how things should be. So to some extent they bring civilization, because you're able to know how things do things in other Western, in other worlds, or maybe in how they do things in Zimbabwe. You're able to say, oh, okay, maybe we can do this also to, in order to, we can incorporate this kind of thing to our faith, you know. So they help a lot. And apart from that, you know, I've heard some people might be uncomfortable to share their secrets with people who are common, you know, who commonly know them. But virtual meetings, you know, they give an aspect where you can actually make an appointment with someone, a pastor maybe in UK, you know, or maybe you can make, or whoever, you know, a spiritual leader somewhere else. You say, you know, but I'm struggling with this and I really need your help. For example, if I'm a Mfundisi, I'm a pastor, now I'm pastoring a church, I would be afraid to say, if I tell my conference director I'm facing this problem, they might fire me. They'll send me to the... They'll send me to the bush to say you are unable to rule the you know, the urban setup.
But
with the people outside, I'll be say, oh, okay, let me, I heard maybe Pastor Pavel Goya teach about this. Let me make an appointment with him so that he can counsel me on how I can deal with this. So virtual camp meetings are very good. And to the speakers, of course, they usually bring out image building, because you're able to showcase your talent and your gift that God has given you. If you're a singer, And the beauty of image, people are able to know what God has gifted you with.
So, Mfundisi, as much as like now me and you are agreeing, and I agree, because as even as you know, it's technology, we're online and everything else. There is the issue of false religions, false doctrines, false everything, even fake news, even news, Mfundisi, not just fake things, you know, news. So now how do we now address that? What steps can we take now to address that? Because even now, if for example, you just log in and Google the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you're going to get a lot of things. Some are true, some are not, you know. So how then do we address that? That yes, we are saying yes, you can use digital platforms, but be wary of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right. Thank you very much. There are quite a lot of information that circulates, you know, because I do remember, you know, there's this lady that I was following, you know, I remember some years back, and I've been following this. I'd followed this lady for 2 years. She was a serious Adventist, you know, and from nowhere, I just saw this lady, you know, she began to talk about, you know, she was a lunatic, began to talk about against the Sabbath, Bible Sabbath. The Saturday is not the Bible Sabbath because when you look at the lunar calendar, I was so confused. So it is right. There is a lot of misinformation that actually is set in order to distract people. But however, the way you can actually, you know, try to validate information if it is genuine, it is actually one of the things you must you have to check other reliable resources. What are other reliable resources saying? If you just got the information from one PDF, you say, let me try to check other reliable resources. What do they say about this? You know, you also have to check the source of information. You know, you don't just get information from an unknown person. What if they're hackers? And, you know, What if they are just, you know, critics who have just sent that, you know, disinformation to terrorize a certain organization, probably our church organization. So you have to look at, you know, who is that person? You have to look at their credibility. Are they good? What is their history? Have they ever released such false information? You know, you might find you're talking to a Davidian, you know, and you haven't really checked the information. You know, so checking, you know, checking the resource as well as the author and their history is very important. And, you know, it is also important to check their profile because you're able to know that this is a machine that has released this this information. And this is a relevant person because even when you are approaching certain website as an LA, they will usually require you to actually do a face checkup. You know, they want to know whether you are a human being. They'll say, how many pictures of cars do you see here? You know, they're trying to prove if you're a human being or you're a robot. So we have to be careful of these things. You know, have to check the profile. There are quite a lot of information about how to know if it's a genuine profile. You know, and it is also important for oneself to develop a critical mindset of not just accepting things.
Yes.
You see something online, it is just talking about, no, the Adventist Church has done this and you are there. No, it is true information. It is important that you begin to have a critical mindset of questioning almost everything. Why is this going this way? Zanella.
I want to say that, Mpundis, you know, as we, you know, we know, that when we do technology and everything else, we are going to get the right information. We can easily get distracted as well. You know, so now I would be going there, logging in. I'm like, hey, let me upload this TikTok because we are on TikTok, by the way. Please follow us. let me upload this TikTok. And at the end of the day, now I get distracted because I'm seeing things and I keep scrolling. You find that for a whole hour and I've been on TikTok, you know. So how can we now deal with the digital distractions that come through? Because when I spend the whole hour on TikTok, it means that I didn't spend the hour with God, you know, because it's not everything that is Christian there on TikTok, you know. So how then do we now deal with the distractions that come with the digital world, even though we understand that, yes, there are benefits to it?
All right. Thank you very much. You know, what you are saying is true. Media has brought a lot of distraction. However, how to handle this problem, it is actually to look at culture lag. Culture lag is actually a belief that, you know, material is easily advancing. There's technology coming into place. There are a lot of things being built apart, but we are lacking, we are lacking the principles or rather the steps that can guide us on how we can live with that is coming on board. You know, so it's a balance between material and the laws that society makes in order to advance. However, you know, the mindset, I like the mindset. So a research was done by some people, and they said, you know, they put this as a problem called malleability and plasticity of the brain, where people, they're easily getting, they're able to get used to what they see, you know, the emotions they read on Facebook, and that becomes their character. But however, how we can avoid that distraction is one by being disciplined. You know, we have to be disciplined. We have to set time for everything. When it is time for family, Zanele, it is time for family. There's nothing like media. So it's just an issue of drawing up your plans to say, at this time I have to do this. At this time I have to do this. And that's how we can actually survive this. Otherwise, media is addictive. And sometimes when you are there, you might be motivating yourself that you're spreading the gospel when you're actually spending time doing other things.
As we wrap up, Mpundiswami, here is a comment that had come through from one of our listeners. And they're saying that, in short, we need to be smart in how we use technology and otherwise. As the scripture says in 1 John 4, 1, behold, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, meaning that, yes, use technology, but test good, who is this person behind, this particular message. So, Mpundiswami, as we wrap up on this issue of technology and our faith, any closing words for you as we close?
All right. Any closing words?
Yes.
Maybe just a text to help the people understand, you know. Philippians chapter 4, this is 8, and it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Amen and amen. Mpundis, thank you. Tomorrow, I promise, I'm not going to make you a technology pastor. But today, we needed to talk about that one. Thank you so much, Mpundis. So, have yourself a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.